You're listening to an encore presentation of the Bishop's Corner. No phone calls will be taken at this time.
The Living Bread Radio Network presents The Bishop's Corner with Bishop George Murray, Bishop of the Diocese of Youngstown, Ohio. Bishop Murray is taking your calls at 888-966-2903. Bishop Murray wants to answer your questions on the featured topic of the day or about the Catholic faith in general. Lines are open now at 888-966-2903 on the Bishop's Corner. And now, here's Bishop Murray and your host, Barb Gaskell.
Hello, and welcome to the Bishop's Corner. I'm your host, Barb Gaskell, and we are live in studio today with Bishop George Murray of the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome back, Bishop Murray.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Good to be with you.
Great to have you. Keep coming back. We want you, our listeners, to be a part of our program today. Our topic today is the sacraments of healing. Anointing of the sick and confession are the sacraments of healing. And Bishop Murray will be talking about that. And he will be taking your phone calls with any questions that you have about confession and anointing of the sick. You can call us right now at 888-966-2903. That's toll-free from anywhere in the United States, 888-966-2903. Or you can email us at askthebishop@livingbreadradio.com. So we want to talk a little bit about the sacraments of healing, Bishop Murray. I know the sacraments... Both sacraments have several names: confession, penance, reconciliation, anointing of the sick. And I wonder if you could maybe tie them together for us and tell us why they're called the sacraments of healing and a little bit about the sacraments themselves.
Okay. The anointing of the sick and the sacrament of penance are called sacraments of healing because they heal divisions that develop between us and God. And they're a bridge to reconnect us to the Lord. If we start off with the sacrament of penance, and you said it very well, it's sometimes called penance, it's sometimes called reconciliation or confession. It's all the same thing. It is our coming to the Lord and putting before Him our sins. By the sacrament of penance, we are freed from sins that we have committed after baptism. At baptism, when we receive the sacrament of baptism, all of our sins are wiped away. Sins that we commit after baptism are eliminated and forgiven through the sacrament of penance. We in the church have talked about two types of sins for centuries. Mortal sins are grave violations of God's law. When a person makes a dramatic turn away from the Lord. And I'm often asked, what's an example of a mortal sin? Well, mortal sins would be things like murder or abortion or idolatry, adultery, racism, perjury, sexual abuse of any kind, mental abuse of any kind. Those are serious violations of God's law. Well, then we also have venial sins that do not set us in direct opposition to the will and friendship of God, but are wrong. And venial sins are things such as to steal something that is relatively small, jealousy or greed, telling lies would be a venial sin, anger, gossip can be a venial sin, but depending on what is said, it could also be a mortal sin if somebody's reputation is destroyed. Boastfulness, drunkenness, the use of inappropriate language or the use of pornography are all types of sins that in themselves would be venial, but if they become excessive, they could also grow out into being mortal sins. Mm. In Christian communities, the understanding has been that we have to come before a priest and confess our sins. And it goes back to the scriptures where Jesus says to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. So we have the practice of individual confession. In the early church, when there was a public sin, there was a public acknowledgement of that. But much of that has gotten carried away with Hollywood, and we see these pictures of people standing up and making all these grand announcements. Historically, most times, sins were confessed between the individual and a priest. But if there was some very public sin, the individual may have decided to make a public confession. So we come together with a priest, and we ask that priest to hear our sins and forgive us of those sins. And the priest says these words as a sign of our forgiveness. God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God give you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Those are some of the most soothing words I have ever heard. And in the experience of healing, of hearing confessions, I am always refreshed and encouraged by the peace that those words give to people who come to confession. That's why it's such a great sacrament. We carry all those sins around, and the Lord wants us to place them in his hands. And when we do, he forgives us and assures us of his love, and it reunites us with him and brings a great deal of peace. So that's basically the sacrament of penance, and there are other aspects that we can talk about as we go on concerning matters such as frequency and the seal of confession, which is extremely important, the necessity of confession. But I think I'll stop there and see if we have any questions.
Okay, well, one thing I wanted to ask you too, Bishop Murray, was is anointing of the sick, now, is confession a part of that? I mean, there's some type of... because I've been at the bedside when the priest has come to members of my family, and then the person is asked to, you know, are you sorry for your sins? That is a so those two are connected in some way like that.
They are connected. The anointing of the sick is another way that the Lord gives us of forgiving our sins. So a person is invited to go to confession during the process of the anointing of the sick. So, yes, they are connected.
It's such a beautiful thing to witness, and I can't imagine as a priest what a joy it is to be able to do that for someone that's dying or just anyone. I know the joy I feel after going to confession.
Yes.
It must be wonderful.
It is. It's a great privilege for a priest to be able to be in the standing in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the sins of his brothers and sisters, and then to forgive those sins. And of course, priests go to confession themselves. All
sure.
of us go to confession. And it is a great grace for us to share our sins with another priest and receive God's forgiveness.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, I know we have, before we take our break, we have one call here, and we're going to go to, let's see, St. Peter's School on line one. I think this is a follow-up from last week, Bishop Murray. We had a question from our young friends at St. Peter's. You are on the air with Bishop Murray.
Okay.
Is this Theo?
Yes.
All right.
Theo, good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Great. I found out the answer to your question from last week. And you had asked who was the first person to see a vision of Mary. And the first person to see a vision of Mary was St. James the Greater in the year 39 A.D. That was the first vision of Mary. The second vision of Mary was in 352, and it was called Our Lady of the Snow. And then the third vision of Mary was in 1061. And that happened, it's known as the appearance of Our Lady of Walsingham. Now, I have to add one thing to that. Those visions were very, very early. The first approved vision, the first vision that the Vatican approved, was in 1531 when Our Lady appeared to St. Juan Diego in Mexico. It was Our Lady of Guadalupe. But there were earlier visions, but it was before the church got into the process of approving visions. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Good. Thank you very much for calling back.
Yeah, that's great. God bless all the folks at St. Peter's and Mrs. McDowell in your class. God bless you.
Okay, have it.
What did you say, Theo?
We also have a friend, Owen, who would like to ask the question.
Okay. Owen, go right ahead.
Hi, this is Owen.
Hi, Owen.
I know Jesus never sinned, but I'm confused about the time Jesus was in the temple and tipped over all the tables. Was that a sin?
No, it was not a sin, because what was happening in the temple was, as Jesus said, you have turned my Father's house into a selling place. Jesus was righteously upset because the people at the temple were not praying. They were buying and selling. And there are different types of anger. Some anger is sinful. Other times, anger can be righteous and good when a person is responding in a strong and passionate way to something that is wrong. That's what Jesus was doing. He was telling those people that when they come to the temple, they should come to pray, not to do anything else.
Okay, Owen. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling back in. And we are going to take our first break here. We would like you to be a part of the program. You can call in today with your questions about confession and anointing of the sick for Bishop George Murray at 888-966-2903. We'll talk with Marilyn when we come back, and we'll be right back.
The Bishop's Corner is brought to you in part by the Knights of Columbus Insurance Program. Since 1882, the Knights have carried on their mission of protecting families from financial ruin. Today, they offer a top-quality portfolio of life insurance and annuities exclusively to the Catholic market. To find out more, your local Knights of Columbus field agent can be reached at 330-614-2063.
The Bishop's Corner is sponsored in part by Attorney Mike Demchek. Mike has served the people of Stark County for more than 35 years. He specializes in business matters, wills, trusts, real estate, and personal injury. Mike Demchek, someone whom you can trust. Conveniently located in Belden Village. He's on the web at demcheklaw.com or 330-454-2136. That's 330-454-2136.
Living Bread Radio is supported in part by Ohio Catholic Federal Credit Union, serving Catholic businesses and households for 60 years. Now with 6 locations in Cleveland and Akron, Ohio Catholic Federal Credit Union, meeting the needs of clients with faith, financial, and education-focused solutions. On the web at ohiocatholicfcu.com.
Support for Living Bread Radio comes from CatholicBook.net. CatholicBook.net has been serving the Catholic community for over 20 years with Bibles, books, audio, and video to help you learn about Jesus and His church. CatholicBook.net is safe, secure, and simple to use. Just a few clicks and your purchase is delivered right to your door. CatholicBook.net, a commitment to service.
You're listening to an encore presentation of The Bishop's Corner. No phone calls will be taken at this time.
This is The Bishop's Corner on the Living Bread Radio Network. If you have a question, call 888-966-2903 or send an email to askthebishop@livingbreadradio.com. Now, back to more on The Bishop's Corner.
Welcome back to the Bishop's Corner. I'm your host, Barb Gaskell, and we are visiting in studio with Bishop George Murray of the Diocese of Youngstown. He's taking your phone calls with questions about confession and the anointing of the sick. And you can call us now at 888-966-2903. That's toll-free, 888-966-2903. Or you can email your question to askthebishop@livingbreadradio.com. And we're going to go right to the phones. We have Marilyn, who is calling in from North Canton. Marilyn, you're on the air with Bishop Murray.
Thank you. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning, Marilyn.
It's wonderful to hear your voice every week on this program. Bishop, something I've always wondered about, when a priest hears a confession, especially of someone that he is acquainted with, how is he able to forget the sins that this person confesses, especially if they're whoppers?
Well, I think of that in terms of reading a book. Sometimes when I read a book, I mentally say to myself, I want to remember what the author is saying. Other times, I read it with the idea, I need this information, but I don't need to remember it. Priests are taught in the seminary to hear a confession and never refer to it again. So they simply train themselves to forget. And I find that there's no difficulty with forgetting what someone has said to me in confession. Even if it's face-to-face and I know the person, I put energy into not remembering what they said so that it never comes up again. And other priests do the same thing. It's the grace of God. God gives us that grace so that we can be open to hear the person, but then never hold on to it, let it go, and move on.
Does that help, Marilyn?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thanks for calling in. That's amazing. That's wonderful. I have an email here, Bishop Murray. I'd like to give you from, let's see, this is Jacob in Akron. And he says, Dear Bishop, what if you go to confession and confess all your known sins, but don't say out loud a sin you are embarrassed by? Does God still forgive you if you are very sorry for it?
Well, that's Jacob, did you say?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Jacob, God forgives us our sins. He has told us that over and over again. He wants to forgive us our sins and takes every opportunity to forgive our sins. If somebody is hesitant to say something out loud because he's embarrassed, there's really no reason to be embarrassed. Any priest who's been hearing confessions for more than a year has heard every sin that you can possibly think of. And having sat in the confessional for many hours myself, I know that from experience. You really don't need to be embarrassed to confess a sin to any priest. And that priest will accept you and, in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive you. Our Lord wants us to confess our sins, and the reason we confess them to a priest is because we're human. We confess to another human being who stands in the place of Christ, and that other human being, that priest, using the power that's given to him by Jesus Christ, forgives us of our sins. But you really should never, a person should never be afraid to confess a sin, no matter how horrendous it is, because God loves us and will always forgive us.
Beautiful. I'm sure that helps a lot of people, Bishop Murray, because that comes up in discussions,
yes,
I know.
Yes, it does. It does.
Here's an email from Connor, who says, what is the seal of confession, and can it ever be broken?
That's a very good question, and it's a question which a lot of people don't understand clearly. The seal of confession is basically that whatever is said in confession must be held in confidence by the priest. Under no circumstances can the priest reveal the sinner or the sin that he has heard in confession. The seal cannot be violated in any way, shape, or form. It is absolutely forbidden for a confessor to betray the words of a penitent. In the same way, anyone who witnesses or overhears a confession, sometimes a person may ask an interpreter to help them or a caregiver to help them with confession and aid them because they are disabled. That person may not reveal what they learned during confession to anyone. And the seriousness of this is clear because if a priest violates that, he has to go through a whole process in Rome where that's investigated and a decision is made about whether or not he can continue in the priesthood. And there, it rarely happens. But even if the priest is threatened with death, he cannot reveal what he has heard in the confessional. Now, he can give the person who has confessed a sin advice. For example, if someone comes and says, I am guilty of the sin of murder, the priest can certainly say to that person, you should turn yourself in to the authorities. But the priest cannot force that person to turn himself into the authorities, and the priest cannot go and call the police and tell the police what the person said in confession. Anything that is said in confession must remain 100% confidential. That's what the seal of confession is.
That's very serious, and I guess I, you know, through the years you've heard of different cases where priests are asked to come to court and things like that, and I just think it's such a powerful witness, you know, to the seal of confession.
Well, it is, but you know, when you talk about priests being asked to come to court, there was an interesting case in Eugene, Oregon, back in 1996. When the civil authorities and through the district attorney's office clandestinely recorded a confession. Priests came to the prison, heard a man's confession, and the district attorney had given permission for that confession to be taped. And that is... Completely, it's a violation of church law, but generally, civil authorities have been respectful of the seal of confession, and here it was completely disregarded. The Archbishop of Eugene, Oregon, is in the Archdiocese of Portland, and the Archbishop at the time, who is now the Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Francis George, and the Holy See, protested strongly against that, and as a result, the tape was sealed, but to the best of our knowledge, it's never been destroyed. The Ninth Circuit Court ruled that the tape was in violation of the First and Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and issued an injunction against any further taping. Every once in a while, situations like that come up where some priests is asked to reveal what he heard in confession. He cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And that protects the integrity of the conversation. It also assures a person that they are free to confess whatever sins they want and that it will never go farther than the priest.
And they know that their salvation is that they can come forward and ask and say what they've done and receive forgiveness.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful sacrament. Okay, it's time for us to take a break. You are listening to the Bishop's Corner. We are here with Bishop George Murray. I'm your host, Barb Gaskell, and we would like to have your phone calls at 888-966-2903. We're talking about the sacrament of confession and anointing of the sick. 888-966-2903. We'll be right back.
The Bishop's Corner is brought to you in part by the Knights of Columbus Insurance Program. Since 1882, the Knights have carried on their mission of protecting families from financial ruin. Today, they offer a top-quality portfolio of life insurance and annuities exclusively to the Catholic market. To find out more, your local Knights of Columbus field agent can be reached at 330-614-2063.
The Bishop's Corner is sponsored in part by Attorney Mike Demchek. Mike has served the people of Stark County for more than 35 years. He specializes in business matters, wills, trusts, real estate, and personal injury. Mike Demchek, someone whom you can trust. Conveniently located in Belden Village. He's on the web at demcheklaw.com or 330-454-2136. That's 330-454-2136.
Living Bread Radio is supported in part by Ohio Catholic Federal Credit Union, serving Catholic businesses and households for 60 years. Now with 6 locations in Cleveland and Akron, Ohio Catholic Federal Credit Union, meeting the needs of clients with faith, financial, and education-focused solutions. On the web at ohiocatholicfcu.com.
Support for Living Bread Radio comes from CatholicBook.net. CatholicBook.net has been serving the Catholic community for over 20 years with Bibles, books, audio, and video to help you learn about Jesus and His church. CatholicBook.net is safe, secure, and simple to use. Just a few clicks and your purchase is delivered right to your door. CatholicBook.net, a commitment to service.
You're listening to an encore presentation of The Bishop's Corner. No phone calls will be taken at this time.
This is The Bishop's Corner on the Living Bread Radio Network. If you have a question, call 888-966-2903 or send an email to askthebishop@livingbreadradio.com. Now, back to more on The Bishop's Corner.
Welcome back to The Bishop's Corner. I'm your host, Barb Gaskell, and we are live in studio today with Bishop George Murray of the Diocese of Youngstown. We are taking your phone calls. We are talking about the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of anointing of the sick. They are considered the sacraments of healing. Covered a lot of ground this morning talking about the sacramental seal. And really, any question that you have, Bishop Murray would be happy to answer about those sacraments. You can call us at 888-966-2903. That is toll-free, 888-966-2903. Or you can email us at askthebishop@livingbreadradio.com. And Bishop Murray, we lost a call. We had a bad connection, but Tony from Youngstown called in, and his question is, could failing to go to confession bring about illness or physical pain? Interesting question.
Tony, thank you for that question. The answer to that question is basically no. Failing to go to confession is not going to bring about physical pain or illness. What it is going to bring about is spiritual pain and illness because of the fact that confession is what reunites us to the Lord after we have sinned and turned away from Him, turned our back on Him. When we do that, we open ourselves to the wiles of the devil. We open ourselves to being able to be overcome by illness, the spiritual illness of evil. So if we fail to go to confession, if we fail to ask God to forgive our sins, we allow ourselves to be more prone to the evil one and his evil designs. So confession is a way, it's a doorway. All the sacraments, every one of the sacraments is a doorway to Christ. They bring us closer to Christ by passing through that outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Confession is another way that we move beyond our human limitations into the spiritual realm with the Lord. So it's not a question of physical illness or sickness, it's a question of spiritual illness. The Lord helps to heal us from our spiritual failings, our spiritual illness, and gives us new life.
I hope that helps you, Tony. Bishop Murray, we haven't talked a whole lot about anointing of the sick, maybe we could talk a little bit about that. I do want to remind you, if you'd like to be a part of the program, you can call us at 888-966-2903. That's 888-966-2903. And we were talking about how the two sacraments are kind of related because they're both sacraments of healing. I think the sacrament of anointing of the sick is very misunderstood, Bishop Murray, at least from the feedback I get at the counter at the bookstore. People don't quite understand the sacrament, and I guess it's had some development over the years. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I think it has had development, and there are some people who think that the sacrament of anointing of the sick is only to be used when a person is dying. There are other people who see it as the title, Sacrament of the Sick. When someone is sick, they can be anointed. But the sacrament of anointing of the sick is the second sacrament of healing, and it is administered to bring spiritual and even at times physical strength during an illness, especially near the time of death, but not limited to the time of death. Like all the sacraments, holy anointing was instituted by Christ during his earthly ministry, and the anointing of the sick conveys several graces and imparts gifts of strengthening in the Holy Spirit against anxiety, discouragement, and temptation, and it conveys peace and fortitude. When we're sick, we're vulnerable, and when we know that the Lord is with us, then we gain strength. And sometimes at confirmation, I will mention to young people that all through the Old Testament, when God wanted to designate that someone was special to him, that person was anointed with oil, like the prophets mm-hmm. were anointed with oil. Well, that's what God is doing in the sacrament of the sick. The oil becomes a sign and a symbol that that person is special to the Lord and that that person can rely upon the Lord to guide them through their illness. And if that illness results in death, that sacrament, the sacrament of the sick, along with what we call viaticum, receiving Holy Communion, will be the way that they pass through life, pass through death into everlasting life. So it's a sacrament that unites the sick person to the passion of Christ for the person's own good and for the good of the whole church. It strengthens the person. It brings peace and courage to endure in a Christian manner the suffering or the illness or the old age that the person is facing. It forgives sins, and that's how it's connected with the sacrament of penance. Forgive sins if the person was not able to obtain that forgiveness through the sacrament of penance. So it's an opportunity, once again, for us to be in relationship with the Lord, especially when we are vulnerable because of illness.
And I think, Bishop Murray, that probably helps to answer the question that we have, the email question from Jennifer. From Canton, she said, I wanted to have my mother anointed because she was having surgery, but my friend told me not to have her anointed. He said you need to be very close to death for the sacrament. So I think that's maybe you could clarify that you don't have to be near death.
No, you don't have to be near death. And I know a number of people who are anointed before going in to surgery. And oftentimes when I'm at a parish on weekends, someone will come up to me and say, I'm having surgery next Wednesday. Well, we can't go through in a parish hall the whole sacrament, but I do bless that person and promise to pray for that person. Mm-hmm. And I think that before going into surgery, anointing of the sick would be a wise thing to do.
At my parish, I think it's about every 4 months or so, Father will offer after, I think, the 8 o'clock Mass or the early Mass, people that are very sick and that are infirmed or whatever, you know, to come and be anointed. I think he goes through the sacrament somewhat. Mm-hmm. And I have taken family members for that so that we could be or especially someone when my father was going into surgery, you know, to be yes. able to take them. Yeah. So the parishes do offer that.
Oh, yes. And priests oftentimes will get phone calls saying, my mother is in the hospital. My brother was in an accident. Would you come over and anoint him? And so they will do that on a regular basis. Sometimes they have a regular schedule so that every Wednesday they go to the various hospitals, and the priests who help out at the hospitals in our diocese anoint people regularly.
One thing I think we had mentioned before was about when you and someone is anointed, that the person has not already passed on.
Yes.
There's some confusion over that, I think.
Yes. Anointing is a way of helping the person to go to God. We don't anoint people after they have died. We pray for them. We pray for their soul. We pray that they will be received by the Lord into eternal life. But it is not appropriate to anoint someone after they have died, because they've already gone to God.
So the default would be, if you think someone's very sick, you should ask
yes,
the priest to come
should.
As soon as you could.
You should.
I had Father Whitmer came and anointed my father probably 2 months before he died, you know. But I think the default is to anoint the person earlier. Okay, we're going to go with Vince. Vince is calling from Cleveland. Okay, we lost Vince. Okay, that's all right. We are going to take a break, and we want to let you know that we are speaking with Bishop George Murray from the Diocese of Youngstown. He is taking your questions about the sacraments of healing, confession, and anointing of the sick. And you can call now at 888-966-2903. Or you can email us at askthebishop@livingbreadradio.com. We'll be right back.
Living Bread Radio is sponsored in part by Fulton Road Pharmacy. Owner Tim Kingsbury, registered pharmacist, offers free delivery to Greater Canton with special attention to Stark Metropolitan Housing residents. There's convenient access parking and a drive-through window to serve you better. Prescription services with professionalism and care. Fulton Road Pharmacy, 330-456-2476.
Locally owned, Raisin Rack Natural Food Market offers health and organic foods, supplements, and personal care products since its founding in 1978. Staff will expertly and courteously serve you in Canton at 4629 Cleveland Avenue Northwest. The Raisin Rack proudly supports Living Bread Radio, found on the web at RaisinRack.com. Their phone number is 330-966-1515.
Programming on Living Bread Radio is sponsored in part by Walsh University, developing mind, body, and spirit of students in the tradition of the faith through a legacy of service. Walsh, a Catholic university with distinction, serving 4 campus locations with the vision of the Brothers of Christian Instruction since 1960. On the web at walsh.edu. The Bishop's Corner is sponsored in part by Clinical Apothecaries of Medina. Registered pharmacist Jeff Potter works diligently to provide customized healthcare solutions for a wide variety of health needs. Clinical Apothecaries, on the cutting edge of individual health solutions for all of God's kingdom. On the web at CAIRX.com. Clinical Apothecaries, a proud sponsor of Living Bread Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of The Bishop's Corner. No phone calls will be taken at this time.
Bishop's Corner, I'm your host, Barb Gaskell, and we are visiting with Bishop George Murray today. We are talking about the sacrament of confession and the sacrament of anointing of the sick, considered together the sacraments of healing. And we are taking your phone calls live at 888-966-2903. We have a few moments left for you to call in. And a couple open lines at 888-966-2903. That is toll-free. Or you can email us at askthebishop@livingbreadradio.com. And I think we did get Vince. We got Vince's question. We lost Vince, but we got his question. Bishop Murray, he says, according to the previous caller, there was a lot of work done by Dr. Sarno, who said there was a connection between psychological illness and physical illness. So I just wanted your comments on that.
Well, there is a connection between physical suffering and psychological suffering, and sometimes our psychological perspective leads to a physical expression. It's known as a psychosomatic illness. We believe something which may or may not be true, and it promotes something such as high blood pressure or heart attack or some obsessive compulsive behavior. But I think it's important to point out that there is a difference between a psychological approach to an issue and a theological approach to an issue. Faith is not a form of psychology. Sigmund Freud argued that it was, and he's been proven to be wrong by theologians and by concrete human experience. Faith is different. What I was talking about was that if a person chooses not to go to confession, they are closing a door on a spiritual opportunity to forgive their sins and draw closer to God, who gives us the strength to live and to move and to have our being, as it says in the Eucharistic prayer. So there's certainly a connection between the psychological and the physical and the psychological. There's also a connection between the physical, the psychological, and the spiritual. And what I was focusing in on was the spiritual. We need to be in right relationship, right spiritual relationship with God, so that we can have life eternal, not just life here on earth.
Hmm. Vince, I hope that helps clarify your thoughts there. We're going to go to John, who's calling from Canton. John, you're on the air with Bishop George Murray.
Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning, John.
My question is, I'm a Eucharistic minister, and I give communion at hospitals.
Hmm.
And a patient requested a priest, and they wanted to request this priest give him an apostolic pardon. Could you please explain what that is?
There are a number of interpretations of that. Generally, what people mean when they say an apostolic pardon is that they want to be forgiven of all the sins of their past life. There was someone who sent us an email, and he said here that when I grew up, we were taught to say at the end of confession, "For these and all the sins of my past life, I am very sorry." And I was taught to say that, and I still say that when I go to confession. An apostolic pardon is a way of asking for that broad forgiveness of all the sins of a person's past life. It is a request for the generosity of God, which he always responds to.
Does that help you, John?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
Bye.
For calling in, John. It kind of, to me, sounds like Bishop Murray, that kind of dovetails with anointing of the sick.
It does.
I'd never heard of that apostolic pardon.
It's a phrase that is not used very much anymore. I rarely hear anyone use that phrase, but it's just a there's another phrase that you don't hear very much, and that's a general confession.
And that's what I was thinking.
And where the person goes back and tries to recollect as many sins as possible from their past life to clear the deck, mm-hmm. and say, "I want to go forward with a clean slate." That's a great thing to do, but it's just something that it happens, and I hear it sometimes when I'm sitting in the confessional, but I don't hear the phrase general confession very much anymore.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for calling in, John. Now we're going to go to Pete in Ellsworth, who is listening on 89.5 FM. Pete, you're on the air with Bishop George Murray.
Hi.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
Well, how are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. My question was about thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my thoughts aren't always lovely and the things they should be. And I have confessed my thoughts, but I was told that as long as you don't act on them, they're not something that you need to confess. But I was just talking to the screener about in the Confiteor, we say, in my thoughts and in my words, what I have done, what I have failed to do. So,
yes.
What's the, are thoughts something that you should confess? Or?
Yes, we should confess thoughts. And you're right. It's right there in the Confiteor. And it reminds us that it's not only what we have done or what we have failed to do, but it's also what we are thinking about. Sometimes we have inappropriate thoughts or impure thoughts, and those thoughts can sometimes lead to actions which are immoral. When we go to confession, we should say that we have had impure thoughts, or we've had inappropriate thoughts, or thoughts of evil, of doing something wrong to some other person, even though we didn't do it. We should confess those thoughts so that God has the opportunity to wipe away all of our sins.
So, like, thoughts of being upset with somebody, and you think, bad things about, what they've done, or,
Yes, we
they may not have done that.
Right, but we should confess that. And sometimes we do.
Okay.
We get angry at somebody, and sometimes we begin to wish them bad things and hope that something will happen to them that will help them to realize that they have not been very kind to us. Those types of thoughts are not the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Think of it that way.
Right.
Would Jesus think those thoughts? Think of what Jesus said about the people who put him on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we have evil thoughts, they are a form of sin, and we should confess them.
Okay.
Does that help you, Pete?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks,
great.
Pete.
Thanks for calling in. One email we have here, Bishop Murray, from Kathy in Green. She says, the catechism says you only have to go to confession once a year, and she wonders why would it be so minimal that you only have to go once a year.
Well, originally the idea was that it was a difficulty to go to confession because people had to travel to the parish to go to confession before large cities grew up and there were places that they could go pretty easily. So it was being sensitive to the people. But now that it is much easier to go to confession, down through the years, a number of the popes have encouraged much more frequent confession. And I think that is what's important for us to realize. The more we go to confession, the more we receive God's grace. We receive God's fulfillment and God's forgiveness, but we also receive His grace to live our lives in a better way. So we are required to go to confession once a year. We're also required to receive Holy Communion once a year, but think of where we would be and how bereft we would be if we only received communion once a year. We have the chance to receive communion if anytime we go to Mass. If we go to Mass every day, we can receive communion every day. And it is by receiving the body and blood of Christ. St. Augustine said it very well. He said that when we receive ordinary food, that food becomes a part of us. It goes through our system and its vitamins and nutrients get into our bloodstream. It becomes a part of us. But Augustine said, when we receive the body and blood of Christ, we become a part of Christ. And we get His strength and His courage, and we also receive His everlasting life. So we should go to communion as frequently as possible. And as a number of popes have pointed out, we should go to confession on a regular basis, once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month. But we should not go to confession simply once a year.
Yeah. We're going to take our final break here. And again, you can be part of the program at 888-966-2903. We're talking about the Sacrament of Confession and the Sacrament of Anointing of the Sick with Bishop George Murray. And you're listening to the Bishop's Corner on the Living Bread Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
The Bishop's Corner on the Living Bread Radio Network is sponsored in part by Walsh University Canfield Campus, where opportunity exists for liberal arts education. Located within the Ursuline Center for more than a decade, Walsh offers accelerated undergraduate business programs and a master's in education for teachers in 2 years or less. Walsh University, a Catholic university of distinction. Find them online at walsh.edu.
This program is sponsored in part by Dr. Julie Thomas, family and cosmetic dentist. Have confidence in your smile with a full mouth makeover, teeth whitening, or porcelain veneers. That's Dr. Julie Thomas, family and cosmetic dentistry, 330-244-9081, or on the web at drjulieThomas.com. Dr. Thomas proudly supports the mission of Living Bread Radio.
The Bishop's Corner is sponsored in part by Clinical Apothecaries of Medina. Registered pharmacist Jeff Potter works diligently to provide customized healthcare solutions for a wide variety of health needs. Clinical Apothecaries, on the cutting edge of individual health solutions for all of God's kingdom. On the web at CAIRX.com. Clinical Apothecaries, a proud sponsor of Living Bread Radio.
Living Bread Radio is sponsored in part by Brailler's Cleaning and Restoration. Their services include full-service cleaning, restoration, and remodeling. Brailler's has been serving Stark, Summit, and Tuscarawas counties since 1976. Trust Brailler's to restore beauty to your home. 888-749-7887 or on the web at brahlerstop.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of The Bishop's Corner. No phone calls will be taken at this time.
Welcome back to The Bishop's Corner. I'm your host, Barb Gaskell, and we are visiting with Bishop George Murray of the Diocese of Youngstown. And our topic today is confession and anointing of the sick. We're having a great discussion about the sacraments of healing. And we're going to go to a phone call from Virginia, who lives in Navarre. Virginia, you're on the air with Bishop George Murray. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning, Virginia.
Good morning, Father, or Bishop.
Father's fine. It's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's a habit.
Yeah, it's okay.
Go ahead, Virginia. What's your question?
Oh, my question is, since we're in such a shortage of priests, why can't we make permanent deacons become priests?
Okay, Virginia, a couple things there. First of all, permanent deacons go through a training process in our diocese, a four-year process to prepare to be permanent deacons, but they have not had the theological background and training that is the same for priests. Priests go through a longer period of training so that they can exercise their ministry. So one reason that permanent deacons are not made priests is because there's a difference in the roles and responsibilities of a priest and a deacon, and they require different training. Secondly, in our church, the tradition has been that priests are celibate, and that's for two reasons. First of all, time, and secondly, attention. A priest needs to devote himself entirely to his congregation, and that would be compromised, and understandably compromised, if a priest had to also spend time on taking care of his family. And that gets into the attention issue. Once again, it's a matter of a priest being available to his people whenever there is a need, and a priest puts no one above his people. There is no one that takes up his time or takes up his attention other than his people. And anyone who has a family has got to be concerned about that family first. I think one of the things that we can do there, however, is to recognize that many of our priests spend a lot of time doing things that could be done by lay people, such as parish administration or parish finances. The more lay people in the parish could take on those responsibilities, the more it frees priests to be the spiritual leader of the community and be available for responding to various spiritual needs. Because that's the first job of the priest, to lead people to Jesus Christ, not to balance the books, as important as that is.
Virginia, I hope that helps you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
We've had a great discussion today about the Sacrament of Penance and the Sacrament of Anointing of the Sick. And, you know, Bishop Murray, before we wrap things up today, I'd really like to, I know a lot of people listen to Living Bread Radio, and we hear from folks about, you know, coming back to the faith through listening. And I would just ask you what you might have to say. I'm sure there's people listening out there that haven't been to confession in 5 and 10 or 15, 20 years. Maybe kind of encourage them to come back. What would you say to those folks?
I would say to those people, come home. Don't worry about remembering every sin that you committed. Don't worry about saying them correctly or saying them nicely. Come back and receive God's forgiveness. Don't carry around that burden anymore. There's no need to do that. Confessions are available. You can call any parish, and they'll tell you what the confession schedule is. You can go online and find the confession schedule. Go into the confessional and simply tell the priest, I haven't been to confession in 5, 10, 15 years, whatever it is. No priest is going to be shocked by that. I hear it all the time. And it's an opportunity for that priest to welcome you back. God wants to forgive your sins. He wants you to be in communion with him. Come back to God through the sacrament of penance.
Amen. Bishop Murray, will you give us a blessing as we take this show out today?
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you and let his face shine upon you. May the Lord look upon you kindly, give you his peace, and hold you forever in the palm of his hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Murray. It's been great visiting today with you. And thanks to all the folks that called in. Be sure to join us next time. Our next program with Bishop Murray will be in November, November 19th, and we will discuss the topic of prayer. I want to thank our director, Dan Clark, our producer, John Doherty, thank our call screeners, Janet and Lowell, and remember that there is an audio archive of today's program at livingbreadradio.com, and you can click on the Bishop's Corner and listen again. You've been listening to the Bishop's Corner with Bishop George Murray. This is Barb Gaskell for the Living Bread Radio Network. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the Bishop's Corner with Bishop George Murray, a production of the Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio. An audio archive of this program is available at livingbreadradio.com. Remember, you can email your question to the Bishop for future shows at askthebishop@livingbreadradio.com. Join us next time for more of the Bishop's Corner on the Living Bread Radio Network.
Living Bread Radio is sponsored in part by Fulton Road Pharmacy. Owner Tim Kingsbury, registered pharmacist, offers free delivery to Greater Canton with special attention to Stark Metropolitan Housing residents. There's convenient access parking and a drive-through window to serve you better. Prescription services with professionalism and care. Fulton Road Pharmacy, 330-456-2476.
Locally owned, Raisin Rack Natural Food Market offers health and organic foods, supplements, and personal care products since its founding in 1978. Staff will expertly and courteously serve you in Canton at 4629 Cleveland Avenue Northwest. The Raisin Rack proudly supports Living Bread Radio, found on the web at raisinrack.com. Their phone number is 330-966-1515. Living Bread Radio is sponsored in part by Brailer's Cleaning and Restoration. Their services include full-service cleaning, restoration, and remodeling. Braillers has been serving Stark, Summit, and Tuscarawas counties since 1976. Trust Braillers to restore beauty to your home. 888-749-7887 or on the web at braillerstop.com.
This program is sponsored in part by Dr. Julie Thomas, family and cosmetic dentist. Have confidence in your smile with a full mouth makeover, teeth whitening, or porcelain veneers. That's Dr. Julie Thomas, family and cosmetic dentistry, 330-244-9081, or on the web at drjulieThomas.com. Dr. Thomas proudly supports the mission of Living Bread Radio.